Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you on this beautiful All Sons and Daughters Day. Welcome, 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 and praise the Lord. Thank you so much for being here with your host, Elise Marie, here on Elise Marie's Bride Supper Brunch. And what a blessing it is to be with you once again on another day the Lord has made, and I hope that your Sunday afternoon is going well, and you are praising the Lord. You have the high praise of God in your mouth and the two-edged sword in your hand. And what a blessing it is to be here with you with Bride's Bubbles and Brunch, a birthing that I created to celebrate Sundays, which is Sundays afternoon, Sundays. Period, but Sunday afternoons, which is a special time that reflects not just the newness of life being the first day of the week, but also I created Bradford and Brush to, of course, celebrate brides of all seasons and celebrate brunch being the I'm getting tongue-tied. Oh, my God. I have so much going on before I came on air, so much. Brunch being one of my favorite times of the day, which is an eclectic mix of brunch, breakfast and lunch, which gives us brunch. And, of course, the bubbly, which we're going to talk about today, which is the whole theme and celebration of August's offering that speaks to our joy. And I am so excited to get into this message and this exhortation on this Sunday, and I'm really excited that you've joined me. And if you are a first-time listener, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Stars of Heaven Network. And just excited. I'm always excited to come to you from Lisa Marie's Bride's Bubbly Brunch, because it truly is a birthing that celebrates Bride's Bubbly and Brunch. And I'm really excited to continue the Purim Carnival celebration where the Lord declared the eighth wonder. And August, being the eighth month, also celebrates romance. So this month also celebrates and observes romance, which is really, really important in us feeling and having the feeling of excitement, which is one of the definitions of romance, which I have on my Facebook post and on information page. And just quickly, if you are with me, I'm on air but not in studio. Open up another window and go to my Facebook post, and there you'll find me at Lisa Marie, the Virgin Light. So I just wanted to say that quickly before I continue with this message. And I really want to get through this part because I have a prophetic word the Lord gave me that I received last night as I was being edified and being ministered to by the universe. The Lord gave me a prophetic utterance as an impartation as I was receiving edification and ministry. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. But I want to read the definition of romance, because romance is a feeling of excitement and mystery associated with love. It is a quality or feeling of mystery. Well, I put that twice. And a feeling of mystery and excitement and remoteness from everyday life. And I love that definition, because that remoteness from everyday life, it's like an escape. Romance is like an escape. It gives you a feeling of euphoria, which is a feeling feeling as if you are exuberant, and that's what they felt when Jesus turned the water into wine, and I'll get into that in a minute too. But I wanted just to read this definition, because romance is a very big part of our life, and romance is, again, by definition, a powerful force that makes you feel connected to someone in a deeper way. They are gestures, both big and small, that make you feel especially wooed and especially cherished by your partner. So I really hope that romance is alive in your life, and romance is not just with a partner, it's just with life, it's with yourself. And the thing that I love about being born again and being saved in the Holy Spirit is that I feel that romance every single day as I worship and I praise the Lord. I feel that romance and that love from God every day when I read His Word, when He reminds me of His love for me, when He speaks to me, when He whispers to me, when He wakes me up in the morning. I feel that, and that's the thing about the romance of life. It you don't know what's going to come. It's a mystery, and so I'm really excited to minister this and celebrating a bride. And one of the things that, as I was sharing with you, the Lord gave me last night was a word, a prophetic word, and I often share prophetic utterances, and having the gift of prophecy, I'm really hesitant to, you know, use my gift every time I come on air. And that's why I really stick to the word, because people try to lock you into prophecy, and certainly there's nothing wrong with prophecy. The word of God says, who is a prophesier, better prophesy than speak in tongues. But I'm very careful about when it comes to words that I share, especially being a prophet, having a gift of prophecy. You know, I'm just very careful about that. But I want to share this, because this was something that I knew that was needed to be shared in the broadcast. And what he was saying to me is that in romance, and even in our mystical marriage with Christ, which that's the whole thing about being joined to Christ, is that it's a mystery. And being joined to Him, which was by wooing, by His loving kindness that he drew us. And while we were yet sinners, He died for us. He was basically saying to me that that in this time, He's divinely guiding us to our playmates. We're being divinely brought together by joined together with our playmates. And he used play mix because the theme of August offering is play. And it's joy, and it speaks to children. And the thing that the whole analogy he gave me was that play is essential. Play is essential in our life. It is part of our hierarchy of needs. It speaks to our social, our need of social interaction. Play is important because it helps us to release the joy that we have. And the analogy that he gave me was basically about children, how children play. And how when children play, they just play. They play with other children without any preconceived ideas and notions. And when I received this impartation last night, and it really registered with me, he was saying that when children play, they're open. There's no predetermination or determining factors on that play because it's pure. And the thing that he was saying to me about many people who are joined in marriage, oftentimes they're joined in marriage because of money. Money is a factor, determining factor, or status. And in the analogy he was giving about children and playing, he said that when they play, in their play, all they want to do is have fun. And that fun is based on the activities that is used to express that joy and to express the fun. And he was saying that that play can happen at any time. And that in us being joined to our spouse or the person that God is going to join us together with, we have to make sure that we're not putting any barriers up as it relates to that joining. Meaning money is not a factor. The person's history is not a factor. Of course, we are adults, and you're not just going to marry someone who is not healed or has a past and they're not delivered. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that when you are in the Lord and the Lord is joining you to someone and it's His joining you together and it's Him bringing you together, those material things should not be a factor. And one of the things that he was saying to me was that it's important for us not to hinder or block that sense of wonder and play. Because in us coming together with our spouse, that's exactly what we're doing. We're not just coming together to be all about business, but it's to enjoy our life with someone. And so I wanted to share that because in our desire to have human interaction and even have a companionship, it's important to make sure that you don't block that with things that are not important, especially when God has a purpose and a plan for you being married. And it's really sad that many people who get married, they get married for those reasons. It's for money. It's for status. It's more like a business. Or if you get married and you don't know how to keep the wonder and the fire and the play in your marriage, it often becomes dull. Well, if you grow apart and the person you married was not someone you supposed to be married to in the first place, you stay married because it's cheaper to keep her. Or it's cheaper to keep him. And all these different reasons for staying married. And, of course, there's not going to be any fun play. It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be exciting. It's not going to be romance because it's been spoiled. Well, it was tainted and cursed from the beginning. So I wanted to say that at the top of this broadcast and share that with you because one thing about children, when they're playing, they just want to have fun. They just want to express the joy. And the kids, they play what they just want to know. Can you play with me? And can you have fun with me? Can you, whatever it is they do to institute the fun, keep it going. And if you try to spoil their fun, you can hear about it. They'll cry and they'll be upset and all that stuff. So I just wanted to share that because he was saying to me that he's truly bringing marriages together that will represent his kingdom. And I thought that was so divine, especially with the message he gave me today in declaring the first wonder, the first miracle, which he performed at the wedding at Cana. And I thought that was so befitting, this message. And so I want you to receive that today, that God knows our desires of our heart. And in this day and time, you know, we really have to be careful, and you really have to be careful and check your motives and check your value system, especially being in the Lord. And I'm speaking to those who are saved, and even those who are not saved, you don't believe in Jesus or in Christ, and you're listening to this broadcast, God wants you to be happy, and you can't be fulfilled and have his will fulfilled in your life or your heart's desire if it's based on materialism or things of this world. And a godly marriage is one that is reflective of our relationship with Christ. And I'm a witness of that, being saved over 30 some years now, you know, how to keep it together, how to keep the fire. And most importantly, staying faithful. And that's why the Lord has given me, it talks about the great harlot so much and the false church, because the false church and the harlot church, is represents materialism and Baal and all that stuff. So my thing is, whether you have a mystical marriage to the Lord, being espoused to him, or you're actually married, allow the Lord to purge your marriage. Get to the foundation of your marriage and reexamine why you're still together. And if the love is still there and the passion is still there, whatever it is causing your marriage to have division or strife, or if it's not representative of what it's supposed to be, which is in the image of Christ, our union with him, give it to God, and he can fix it. He can repair it. But one thing is sure is that we want to be happy, you know, and as I shared with you, you know, in the past, I've had opportunities to get married, and I chose not to because it wasn't right. I didn't want to get married because, oh, I'm married for the sake of being married. No, I value my freedom. I love my liberty. I love my singleness. And when and if I get married, it's going to be for the right reason. And it's definitely going to be because that person truly loves God and is in Christ. So I'm 18 minutes in, and I'm going to get to the message now, because the miracle that Jesus performed at the wedding of Cana in Galilee was the first miracle he performed publicly, which declared God's glory. And in him giving me this, he was saying that in this miracle and this wonder that he performed at the wedding of Cana, which is a glorious, vehement banquet, he was saying this miracle demonstrated the power of transformation, the power of transformation. And that's really important to remember in working miracles, receiving miracles, is that miracles transform. And for that, he gave me John 14, chapter 11 through 15 verse, where he says, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." So the first reason why Jesus performed the miracle and turned the water to wine is so that the disciples would believe that the power of God was real and that he was of God. He goes on to say in verse 12, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, what shall I say, on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Verse 13, he says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you should ask anything in my name, I will. So the blessing of the miracle and understanding the miracle that he performed in transforming the water into wine was to verify that God was with him and that God was using him as a son. And most importantly, as I shared with you later in the on my information page, that miracle was performed through him because he embodied the Holy Spirit and the power of God was in him, and God gave him the power to do that. Now, quickly, signs are meant to be to give us assurance and comfort. Signs are meant to point out to us the right direction and to give us confirmation of what he said and what we saw. So signs are really important. It was not just a miracle that was performed, but it was also a sign that God was with him. And signs also give confirmation. So this miracle that he performed was not just for transformation, but just for confirmation that God was with him. And as Jesus was saying, believe me. If you don't believe in me, believe on the works that I do. And that's why many will be judged in the last day, because when Jesus revealed himself, especially when you asked him to reveal himself to you, and he did, many turned him away in denying him. And that is the most dangerous thing you can do in being a believer or hearing the gospel, is to know that God is real. He's manifested himself to you, and you did contrary. And that's what he was saying about the judgment that many false leaders, or leaders that used his name and did contrary, will face. He said, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not things that I do? Now, I don't want to get off track here. I'm going to go back to what he was saying to me about the wedding at Canaan. Because as a side note, the wedding at Canaan was an Eastern wedding, which is far different from a Western wedding, because Eastern weddings can last up to 3 to 4 days. And the groom is prominent in the celebration, whereas Western marriages, the bride is prominent and featured. Well, in Eastern weddings, the groom is prominent, and which is, you get the tradition of where the groom has to pay for everything. So I wanted to just put that as a side note, because the wedding at Canaan represented, again, the Jewish tradition. And one of the things that I really found interesting as well at the wedding at Canaan is where it was held. Canaan was a great place. And I put a portrait there of the depiction of Canaan. And remember, one of the eight wonders is a significant place, and that's what Canaan was, in them having the wedding at that particular place. Canaan was a great place, and I did a lot of history on that too, research on that too, which is, you know, you can do in your own time. But Canaan was a great place in Galilee. And it had a mixture of people. And again, Jesus was known for being social. He loved being social. And at this wedding, and him being social, he chose the wedding, or well, I wouldn't say chose, but, well, he did. He chose to turn the water into wine at the request of his mother. And the thing that I love about this is that not only was just that miracle, but it was several miracles that was several signs that were given at that time at the wedding of Cana. And these signs were to reveal his glory so that, again, disciples would believe. Now, I'm going to quickly go to my notes, and I'm going to read a few, about three things that I have in my notes that I want you to take away in this message. And, again, one is the sign of why he did it, which is allowed the disciples to believe that he was afraid from the power of God, and that God was with him and God had sent him. The second was what was used to turn the water into wine. And the waters were held in stone jars. And these jars are symbolic of purity because stone does not transfer impurities. So I want you to get that. It was not just about the water and turning to wine. It was the process and how the miracles were manifested. And those jars where the water was being held had to be pure so that the miracle, the process of miracles could happen. And again, that speaks to us. And that's why I gave you Romans, where he says, present your body, living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Because our body is what God used to manifest itself through us. Okay, the third thing was, in Jesus responding and addressing his mother, in her asking and letting him know that there was no wine, in his response to her and saying that his timing was not yet, Jesus also understood his timing, and he did not want to spoil what was to come. And in performing the miracle, which he did to show the power of God, was just a prelude of what was to come, which was the Holy Spirit, once he ascended, the Holy Spirit. The wedding at Canaan set the stage for what was to come, which was his resurrection. Now, I'm going to get in quickly to the power transformation, because miracles cannot be performed unless there is transformation. The definition for transformation is a thorough and dramatic change in form of appearance. Transformation also means a metamorphosis during the life cycle of an animal. It is also a process by which one figure, expression, or function is converted into another that is equivalent at some point that is equivalent in some important respect, but it's differently expressed or represented. Okay, another definition for transformation is a process by which an element in the underlying deep structure is converted to an element in the surface structure. Now, another word for this in universal language is alchemy. Alchemy. And that's changing one thing into another. So the thing that he was saying to me about transformation and the importance of transformation is that spiritually, as it relates to our salvation and the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit, is that we cannot truly be transformed into his image and his likeness or go from glory to glory unless there is a change or renewal. And that is also what Paul is saying in Romans when he said in the second verse, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's exactly what Jesus did when he turned the water into wine. He was proving that he had the power of God, that God was with him. Now, the thing that I love about the wedding at Cana and the miracle is that it revealed his deity. And those who, the disciples and those who had the charge of filling the stone vessels were able to witness that miracle. And that's another thing he was saying to me, is that he would never leave himself without a witness. And that's why it's important to be able to identify and discern when true miracles are happening by the power of God, by way of the Holy Spirit. Because in the same message he gave me about transformation, he also gave me scriptures that relates to and talks about in the same book of Romans, how the ministers of the devil know how to transform themselves into the angels of light. So it's really important for you to understand and discern when you have witnessed authentic miracles. And Jesus and him speaking in the book of John, by John's revelation and John's testament of him, Jesus went to great lengths to reveal himself to disciples and spoke those words to them about believing on his works. As he said in the 14th chapter, believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. So the Lord wants us to be fully persuaded that he is from God the Father, and he will show us the signs and wonders that we need to know. He will reveal itself to us. And so he's not offended when we ask for a sign. And the thing about the Holy Spirit is that he's willing to reveal itself to us so we can have that blessed assurance that he is our God and he's with us. Now, quickly, with the few minutes I have left, I want to go to where the last paragraph on my Facebook post, where I said, Jesus performed this wonderful miracle by the pure, holy power of God, being the true tabernacle, who was birthed and living in the earth realm. The miracle of water into wine represents the induced state of euphoria. So in Jesus turning the water into wine, it was to induce the spirit of euphoria, which is what wine does. It makes the heart marry the heart. It's meant to relax. It's meant to for celebration. And I gave you the definition of euphoria here on my information page. Wine also represents joy, the oil of gladness. And in this prelude of him turning the water into wine, again, it also, he was demonstrating the future descension of the Holy Spirit, which is the Comforter. And the Comforter, which he said he'll send back after he ascended to the throne of God, who is now set at the right hand of God, who now dwells in our hearts by faith, by the deposit of the Holy Spirit invested in us in the person of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Trinity, which is the fullness of Godhead bodily. So I'm really excited about what God is saying about the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. He said, greater works shall you do because I go unto my Father. These are they that testify of me. He said, search the scripture, and in them you shall find eternal life. And these are those that testify of me. So our testimony, by not only what we say, but what we do, will reveal that we have the true Christ. The true Christ. Now, I could have got into the governor and the bridegroom, but I decided not to get into that because I wanted to stay focused on what he was saying about the first miracle. And that's the thing that we need to remember in our relationship with the Lord. The first miracle that happened to me was going from death to life. And that first miracle, that first manifestation of God showing us who he is very prominent. Although I've had many visitations and I still receive miracles and from the Lord, that first miracle was intended for us to be fully persuaded. And so at this time where the Lord is really ready to reveal himself afresh and anew to us, it is my prayer that you will be transformed inwardly, not just based on what you confess with your mouth and quoting scripture, but really, really, really allow the presence of God and the power of God to dwell in you and be seen in your life. And that only can happen if you are the true church. Remember, the kingdom of God is within us. We manifest kingdom from within. So that's my prayer for you, that you will, the Lord will really show himself strong on your behalf. He will reveal himself to you. He's not hiding. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open up, I'll come in and stop with them, commune with them. They shall be my God, my people, and I shall be their God. So, also when Jesus performed a lot of miracles, he said, the kingdom of God has come unto you. The kingdom of God has come unto you. So know that the power of God and the Holy Spirit is there to confirm himself to you and to convince you that he's real. He's really real. And he said, if I, by the power of God, cast out devils, know that the kingdom of God is coming to you, and that Satan cannot cast out Satan. So it's really important to have a personal relationship with the Godhead, the Holy Trinity, God being the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to have the power of God overflowing, hallelujah, overflowing in you, amen, by way of fire, by way of your candlestick, amen. And so I pray that today you will receive the miracle that you need. And not only receive the miracle that you need, you have the power to create miracles by what we speak, by what we use, what we have in our hands, what we have at our disposal, by our giftings, by our talent. And that's one thing I love about the power of manifestation, and I love about transformation and alchemy is that we can create anything, and we can create those things from goodness. From goodness, and most importantly, from light. Light, because God is light, and in him there is no darkness. With that, I'm going to bid you peace, blessings, and much love. I hope that you enjoy the rest of your Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. I'll be back this week with more of Purim Carnival 2020, Beholding the Eighth Wonder, and I'm going to do a few more messages, then I'm going to come to you with the Brides of Christ Women's Ministry Prophetic Calendar Alignment, and then I'm going to do the benediction for this month's offering. So I hope you will join me on future broadcasts or posting that I will be posting here on my feed. Wishing you peace, blessings, and much love. May God bless you. May He cause His face to shine upon you and keep you, truly, truly, truly keep you in all your ways. Love y'all. Take care.